It has been a time of celebration. And I hope, I believe for you, I hope for you as it is for me, if this were to end right now, we could say we've been blessed. We've experienced what it means to be a believer. We've seen a representation of the most life-changing decision one can ever make. But nonetheless, there are a few words that I would like to share. And as I began preparing for this Sunday, and when I found out a month or so ago that this was going to be the Sunday that David Bohr was going to be baptized, we had already selected the scripture and the plan of what we were going to do for day and today, and I started thinking maybe I should use a different scripture. Maybe I should have something that focuses more specifically on the baptism. Maybe the baptism of Jesus. Maybe another part of the scripture that's really used a lot in reference to baptism. And then I spent time praying and thinking and reading the scriptures around what had been chosen, what I'd feel led by God to choose for this Sunday. And Ray just read Philippians 4, 1 through 9, but I want to go back just a few verses to Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And I want to see if this doesn't sound just a little bit familiar and provide an obvious connection to what our celebration is for today. Beginning with verse 10, we read, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection, the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That's exactly what baptism is a symbol of. I want to read it again, this time from the Message paraphrase. I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. David Bohr is a part of something pretty big today. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection is the most life-changing thing any human being has ever done and ever will do on the face of this earth. And we're called to celebrate and acknowledge that this day. So I've entitled this, or I want to think about baptism for a day. Baptism is a day for several things. As we look at Philippians chapter 4, 1 through 9, I want to just point out a few things. First of all, in verse 2, it said, I pled with Yodia and I pled with Sphinxi to be of the same mind in the Lord. And it goes on to say why. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we talked in Philippians 2 about what it meant to be of one mind. And I ask you, starting off with, does it mean that we all agree on the same thing? And y'all pretty quickly said, nope. Because most of you already know something specifically that you disagree with about the person sitting right beside of you. So what can that mean for us as believers? And what we went on to say is that we aren't able to see and understand the fullness of what God desires for us. So we see a part of the puzzle with our giftedness, with our talents, with our uniqueness. We bring something to the table, and the person beside of us that sees something a little bit differently, a little bit different perspective, a little bit different ideas, they're able to see another part of the picture. And if we allow Satan to, he takes that and causes strife between us. But what God desires for us to do is bring who we are, live into the fullness of who we are. And as we do that, God's plan comes into focus much more clearly than we can get it by ourselves. That's what it means to be of one mind. When we're of one mind in the body of Christ, we can accomplish more than we can simply on our own. So today, as we've seen the practice, the ordinance of baptism, we're to be reminded that this once again points to the fact that all believers are to be of one mind, to understand that the most important thing is to let God lead us And God may lead us in different directions, but God's going to lead us to the same ultimate destination. So, baptism is a day for being of one mind. Secondly, in verse 4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord when? On days that people are baptized? On days like Christmas and Easter? When does it say rejoice? Always. Does that mean we're supposed to rejoice when we've had a bad day? Does that mean we're supposed to rejoice when we've lost our job, when we've lost a loved one, when we're hurting and aching and we don't know if our body can go anymore? Really? Really, God? Does it mean that we're supposed to rejoice then? Yes, it does. But how? How are we going to do that? That's what verses 5 and 6 say. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So you see, this baptism is a reminder once again that while God says that we, through His Scriptures, we are to rejoice, He knows that we can't do that in the way He intends us to, for our life to be what God desires it to be without Him. So that's why on the day of baptism, when we're representing, when we're remembering what it means to have Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's why it's important to celebrate with rejoicing, to understand what that means every day of our life. And we can't do that without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thirdly, if we look at verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So in other words, do this and you will know peace. It doesn't say do this and your life will be great. It doesn't say do this and there won't be hardships. But I'm wondering, have you ever seen anybody that's just having a hard time in life? They're faced with tragedy, maybe even catastrophe. And somehow or another, you look at them and you wonder how they can be composed, how they can carry on, how they can think straight in the midst of what's happening. Because it doesn't seem like that's how a human being would typically function. You know, that might very well have been the peace that comes from knowing Christ. Because again, we can't do that on our own, but we yearn for peace. As long as we live in this world, there's going to be hardship. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. But if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can follow what it just said, I love, and I'm going to go back and read it again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Have a conversation with God. I don't mean just a list where you're saying, God, this needs to be fixed and it needs to be done now. You know, I'm even okay with us saying that to God sometimes, out of our frustration, out of our anger. But you know, the problem is we say that and we walk away. God can handle anything we bring to Him. And if we bring Him our genuine, open, broken heart, filled with whatever it may be filled with, but we lay that at the altar in whatever way we are able to, God hears it and God responds to it. But so often we don't wait for that response. In the midst of that response, a journey is able to continue. And through that journey, often it takes time, but peace will come. So, baptism is a marker of new life. It's a representation of how Jesus Christ died on a cross and He was buried. So the baptism is a representation, and I said it when I baptized David. It's a representation of death. Death to our old selves. And when we come up We're joined, it's a representation. David is already the new person. These waters don't have any magical oils or anything that changed who David was from the time he went in to the time he came out. But it's a celebration of the fact that Jesus Christ, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have made an impact on David's life, that he's a different person. He's a new person, just as Jesus Christ was a new person when he arose from the grave. So it's a powerful symbol. It's also a faithful reminder of who we are to be. And I shared at the very beginning that how I appreciate it. And we've made a practice of it. Each time someone makes a profession of faith and comes to be baptized, we have them write, share out their testimony. And basically, it's a simple thing of what your life was like before you became a Christian. How you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and maybe the people that were involved in helping you do that. And then how your life has been different since you became a Christian. We have a responsibility not just to do that or have someone share it on our behalf on the day that we're baptized. We need to regularly share that. We are called to be disciples of Christ. That is much more your calling. God probably has a plan for you. God has a plan for if you're getting ready to think about going to school, He will be a part of helping you to find that answer. If you're looking for a job, God will be a part of helping you with that as well. If you're trying to figure out who the person is you're supposed to marry, and if the person you're dating, if whether or not that's going to be your lifelong partner, God yearns to be a part of that. All of those are so important, but nothing is more important than accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because it's only once you have that that God's able to speak into your life in a way that you know who He is and how He desires us to live. And we're to be that example for others. That's why this candle is unlit. There are people every one of us meet every day who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And some of them we would call good friends. Are they good enough friends that you're going to share the most important decision they can ever make? And I'm not one at all that is going to give you a bunch of verses and say, okay, you need to learn these verses, and next time you get with your friend, you need to go sit down and you need to tell them this, and if they don't do this, they're going to hell. That's probably going to push your friend away more than anything else, unless that's what God's calling you to do in that situation. It's more about making relationships and loving that person and allowing God to lead you to share when God wants you to, when doors are open. And in the meantime, just continue to go to God and pray for those people in your life. Pray for opportunity. Pray for wisdom to know how and when to share so that others might know the light of Christ as well. I'm going to ask our praise team to come forward now. And we're going to sharing a song, I'm a Soldier of the Cross. And a soldier of the cross has a responsibility to the one for whom we represent. God is calling you to respond in some way today, and I'm here at this altar if you want to have a conversation. If you'd like for me to pray with you, I'm happy to do that. You can kneel in front of, beside these boxes and pray directly to God Himself. He allows us to do that because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He opened the pathway for us to speak directly to Him. But God may have some specific things He wants you to do, some ways that He wants you to take your relationship with Him more seriously, or someone He wants you to share that with. But listen and be willing to respond. Hymn number 481, let's stand together.
To to speak His name. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds? Oh,